My goal and my mission this Christmas season of these 4 weeks is that we would catch a new insight, a freshness into the meaning of Christmas. We get very busy with buying presents and going to office parties and family gatherings, and that's all good. But sometimes we need to drill down on and embrace and take time to really absorb the significance of a Savior being born to us. The title of today's message, part three, is this: Peace During Turbulent Times. If there's ever a time in this world that there's chaos and turbulence, it's now. We have the Israel-Hamas conflict. We have the Russia-Ukraine conflict. We have shootings, even in America. We have people that break into department stores and literally a mob will take items and steal them. We have, there's earthquakes around the world, there's famines, but there's turbulence around us. And I want us to understand one thought today, and it's this. When Jesus came into the world and then he died on a cross and rose again, one of the things he brought with him that he wants to give to each of us is this thing called peace. So we're going to take some time today, and we're going to talk about the significance of peace in your life on a personal level. I read a story told by Edward Frey. A man was seeking the perfect picture or portrait of peace. So he held a contest, and he wanted people to draw peace on a canvas. They whittled all the entries down to two. And the first one was this. They pulled the cover off the one, and there was a hush that fell over the crowd. It depicted, and visualized this in your mind, a mirror-smooth lake reflecting lacy green birches under a soft blush of the evening sky. A flock of sheep lay undisturbed by the water. It's beautiful. It was peaceful. But then there was the second potential winner, and they pulled a sheet off that. And there was a big gasp over the people viewing it. But let me describe that picture of peace. There was a turbulent waterfall cascading down a rocky cliff. There was commotion. There was water. There were stormy gray clouds that threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. In the midst of the thundering noise and the bitter chill, there was a tree painted on the side of the mountain. And one of the branches extended out towards the turbulent waters that were coming over the cliff. And on this branch, there was a nest of a bird who had built a home at the elbow in the branch right next to the waterfall. And the author, the writer who tells this story says this: the bird was completely content despite the turbulence all around it. That portrait won the contest. Peace in your life and mine is not about the absence of turbulence. Peace is the inner rest that God gives us in the presence of turbulence. You may be here today and you've got some real turbulence going on in your life. It could be a health condition. It could be circumstances, relationships. It could be a host of things. But understand one thing. Jesus came to bring something, a gift called peace, so that you and I can be like a small bird in the elbow of a branch when all around us there's turbulence, there's chaos that can be so overwhelming. And so today, what I want to do is we're going to look at this whole theme called peace on a personal level of what it means to you and me. So read with me Luke 2. 10, verses 10 and 11 in your notes. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Circle the word Savior. Here's what it means. Somebody that comes to rescue us. You see, each of us need to be rescued from a couple things. First, our sins. That's why Jesus came to absorb them. But then he came to rescue us from ourselves. You ever feel like you need to be rescued from yourself? I've been there many times, and I probably will continue to be there many times. The Savior is a rescuer. And I want to tell you, part of the package deal is something called peace in your heart. So the verse that Pastor Jack led us in a little earlier, it's in your notes. Let me read it to you. Jesus said, "I'm leaving you with a gift." Notice, it's a gift that's on the table for you. "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift. The world cannot give it. So don't be troubled or afraid." Listen, when there's a war that's potentially a world war, right now it's a more of a regional conflict in Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Gaza. We're involved in it. Let me tell you, God wants us to be the bird in the nest, in the elbow of a branch of the tree, despite the cascading waters of turbulence coming down around us. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have that rest. And so two things about this verse I want to point out. Number one, the world cannot give it to you. You can go to any continent in the world, any country. You can go to exotic places, and you're not going to get the peace that's described here. The second truth about this is this. Once God gives you that peace, listen closely, the world cannot take it away from you. The world cannot take it if God deposits it into your life. Here's why. He's eternal. And there's a sense of an eternal rest, supernatural, dropped into your life. The world cannot take it. Now, we have to guard it and protect it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But the world can't give it. But once we have it from God, let me tell you, nobody can take it. It's not this world driven. So here's the definition of peace. It's in your notes. It's a supernatural inner rest deposited in you by God himself. Peace is something that God drops into your heart. He deposits it. It's his eternal touch upon your life. And all of a sudden, you're like the bird on the branch in a nest, and there's cascading waterfall, but you're at rest. You're at peace. That's what God wants to do for us. Now, in the story, announcement of the birth of Christ, Luke 2, 13 to 14. Let's read that together. "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" In the birth announcement, the angels address the topic of peace. And so today, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about three kinds of peace in your life. It's personal. Three different levels of peace that can make all the difference. And hopefully we'll get a new understanding of how peace operates in our life. Let's get started. Number one. The first kind of peace is what we'll call peace with God. Peace with God. Understand, this is between him and your heart. It's one-on-one, nobody else. It's God's presence in you. It's vertical. Now, read with me Romans 5:12 in your notes. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. A few thoughts about this verse. There's this big word called justify. Now, is there anybody here that's ever gotten a speeding ticket like me? Okay, we got a few honest people. This guy's raising his wife's hand. Here, justified, when you get in trouble with the law, you've got to appear before a judge or a magistrate to settle it. Either you pay the bill, it's forgiven, or whatever. But the word justified is a legal term. And so when you and I, the Bible says we're sinners. And so we're out of sync and in trouble with God. But Jesus came to pay a price on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And when we accept his sacrifice and make it our own by faith, we are justified. Here's what happens. He paid the bill. He did something on our behalf so we could get right with God. And Paul says we are justified through faith. We have peace with God. Let me stop here. Whenever a heart puts its full trust in Christ, you know what happens? There's a transaction from heaven, God himself, into your heart. You know what he does? He deposits something called forgiveness, and the end result is peace. I hope you're here this morning and you have a vertical peace in your heart. And over the years, it can grow. How does it grow? We read his word, we pray, we come to church, we study. The peace expands. And it's a vertical deal between God and you. Of the three pieces we're going to talk about today, this one is the most important. You know why? Everybody needs it. You and I need to be at peace before we die, so we know we're going to heaven. So God wants to bestow peace on anybody whose heart is open to receive it. Now, in this verse, it also says this. We have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Let me stop there. There are points and times in life where the only thing we can do is stand. You don't want to go forward, you don't have energy. You don't want to retreat, that's going backwards. You just stand. And when the waters of turbulence in your life hit, and they will, or they are hitting now, when everything's out of control and the storm is heavy, the winds are powerful. The rain pounds down upon you. You can be like the bird on the branch in a nest, watching it flow by, and you can be content. That is called peace. And Jesus said, hey, I want you to know the world is full of trouble, but you can have peace despite all the chaos around us. Here's a quote of Kate and Jake put up. A little hard to read, so I'll read it for you. There is no greater wealth in this world than peace of mind. If you're here this morning and you have a peace in your heart, your spirit, your life's not perfect, but you got a sense of God inside you, let me tell you, they compare it to wealth. You're a rich man or a rich woman. You know why? Most of the people on planet Earth don't have peace. They haven't figured it out yet. So if you're here, understand there's no greater wealth in this world than when you can be the bird in the nest on the branch and the waters of life, the turbulence, are cut loose all around us, but you're at peace with God. You know what it does? We stand. We stand. Life's going to be okay. God's on my side. I'm going to make it through despite everything that's happening. Peace with God is vertical. It's vertical. It's between you, your heart, and God himself. That's peace number one. Here's the second one. The second kind of peace is this. It's peace with others. The first one is vertical. This one is horizontal. You probably have 100, possibly more, acquaintances in your life. People you've met, you know. Then the circle gets a little smaller. You might have maybe 15 close people. And then it maybe even gets smaller. Your family is like 3, 4, or 5. So the circle can get tighter. But of these 100 people or thereabouts, let me tell you, there are horizontal relationships. And when one of those relationships are out of whack, you can lose your peace. We all get that. It's like, okay, I'm in conflict with this person, or something didn't quite go right. Now, in the book of Philippians, there's two women mentioned in the Bible. We don't know much about them, but Paul calls them out. You know why? Two women are in conflict with each other. It's the horizontal relationship. So read with me Philippians 4, 2 through 3 in your notes. And it's, I think, Euodia and Syntyche. Let's read it. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Here's the deal. Paul identifies two women, and they got their name in the Bible. That's all we know about them. And you know why? They're in conflict. There's friction. There's misunderstanding. There's something going on that is not right. And Paul says, hey, I plead with these two ladies to agree with each other in the Lord. Here's what he's saying. Work it out. Horizontal relationship. Now, when I did some reading on this, you know, they talked, these two ladies were probably leaders in the church. One, a couple translations thought they could even be deaconesses. They were people that were higher level. And here's what Paul says about them. He praises them. He says, they've worked with me, alongside me, in the cause of the gospel. They're valuable. They're doing good things. And he says, whose names are written in the book of life. They're going to heaven. They are in heaven. But at that point in time, they were butting heads. There was conflict between them. You see, anytime you and I have a conflict on a horizontal level with another person in our big circle, it can eat away at us. We struggle. We feel like life is not quite right. I have a horizontal peace with God, but I tell you, when I've been at odds or had a conflict with another person this way, it kind of messes with you. Because you want to get back to a good place where you feel like you're totally at rest on the inside. Now, here's what the writer of Hebrews says. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Here's what it's saying. If you've got a conflict with somebody in a horizontal level, make every effort on your end to live at peace with people. Now, I want to share some thoughts about this whole thing about how you do that. Oftentimes when somebody's offended us or we've offended them and we're at odds, we're waiting for them to come apologize to me. Can I tell you? If you have that happening in your life, or you will in the future, don't wait for the other person to come to you. You go first. You know why? That person's the leader. That person's courageous enough to take the step. They want to set it right. Be proactive. Go after it. Be the champion. That's what Jesus taught. You know, live at peace as much as you can with other people. I came across a reading by Ken Sandy, And he's dealt with conflict for most of his life. He studied it, taught it, and so forth. I got to read you a few thoughts about what he says about people in conflict. And he comes up with this SOG plan. It's SOG. It's an acrostic I'm going to get into in a bit. But let me tell you what he says about conflict. The majority of people who offend don't do it intentionally. He likened conflict to a fire. It starts with a spark, a disagreement or misunderstanding, but it can quickly burn out of control. Here's a key thought. The sooner you smell smoke and you see the flames, the faster you can put the fire out. In other words, if you smell smoke and see fire in a conflict with somebody else, go after it. Go after it. Don't let it linger. This is what he says. It's important to avoid acting impulsively or assuming the worst about the other person. When emotions are churning, people can mistakenly throw gasoline on a fire instead of putting it out. Sandy encouraged leaders not to let their emotions simmer for too long. Everybody here carries two buckets. One bucket is a bucket of gasoline. The other bucket is a bucket of water. And when you get in a conflict horizontally with other people, we have a choice. We can take the gasoline and pour it on it, and it'll just get bigger. It's what comes out of our mouth. We act on the emotion behind it. On the other hand, if we're wise, we'll say, wait a minute, I'm not going to use the bucket of gasoline. I'm going to use the bucket of water. And a wise person will apply water to a potential big fire to nip it in the bud and to catch it on the early end. He goes on to say this. Before you respond to a disagreement or offense, take time to pray for wisdom, calm your spirit, and ask yourself, how can I please and honor God in this situation? When addressing conflict, we should consider Jesus' teaching, listen, of removing the log from our own eyes before pointing out the speck in the eyes of others. Here's a key thought. Human tendency, listen, is to minimize our guilt and magnify the other person's. If you smell smoke and see a fire, go for the bucket of water. And when something does disrupt, it says, hey, we tend to minimize our part. I'm okay. It's the other person's fault. And he says, be wise and take care of, be careful about these horizontal relationships. Now, let me give you the SOG plan, S-O-G, it's in your notes. Letter S is this, self-awareness. Self-awareness. Here's the question you ask yourself. What is my part of the conflict? Now, it may be 10% and the other person's 90%. I own the 10%. Maybe it's 50-50. Maybe it's 90-10, whatever it is. Own your part, my part, of the conflict. You see, we have to take care of ourselves. Letter O. It's other awareness. What is their part in this? And I tell you, I've learned through the years this. If I have a run-in or a conflict with another person, it's good to take a step back and say, what is going on in their life that I may not know about? Maybe they lost their job. Maybe they have a sick child. Maybe they haven't gotten any sleep because they've been caring for somebody and they're just shredded. And so it's giving the other person a benefit of the doubt. It's giving them some grace, saying, wait a minute, maybe there's something going on in their life I don't even know about. And often that is the case. But here's a significant point on the letter O. It's this. If you've been offended by someone, and they were actually in the wrong, whether it's 50% or 70%, whatever it is, listen, you may never get the apology that you feel like is equivalent to the offense. You're waiting for the person to kind of just come clean and say, wow, I really blew it here. You may or may not get that. Is that true? Absolutely. Don't set yourself up, if you're in a conflict, that you'll get the full apology that you would just satisfy your heart. It may happen or it may not. But there's one thing you can do. Own your part of it. Own your part of it. 10%, 25, 50, whatever it is. You own it. Take responsibility. And you take the lead to diffuse it, to pour cold water on it, whatever that means, to take care of it. Letter G is this. God awareness. First is self-aware. What's my part? Other awareness. What's that person's part? What's going on? G is God awareness. What would honor God in this situation? If we take a big picture view of the conflict, understand the enemy would like to take us out of the game of life, of our ministry involvement from a conflict. And we're ready to say, I'm done, I quit. The enemy wins. The enemy wins. But God says, wait a minute, I have a better plan. Jesus modeled it. You own it. You talk to the person the best you can, and you try and resolve it. Leaders will always go first. Don't expect them to go first. May not ever happen. But leaders go first. The bigger person goes first. You do the best you can. And then you listen. You hope they respond. Generally, if you and I own it, our part, apologize, whatever it is, let me tell you, they're going to apologize back. It'll get patched up very quickly. There can be other issues that may be longer standing that you got to work through, but we have to own our part, understand their part, and say, what would honor God, and how do I become humble to just resolve it and diffuse it? I've got a quote. Here it is. It's coming. There we go. Never argue with an idiot. People watching won't be able to tell the difference. Isn't that good? You know, it's just, that's a good one. You know, there's one other thing I want to add to the issue of the horizontal peace between people. Over the years, I've come to realize that some people have a default of how they handle conflict. You know what the default is? I'm done with that person. They write them off. Stiff arm them. I don't want anything to do with them. I'm done playing ball with that person. You know why? They offended me. Can I tell you that's a bad default? You know why? You lose the connection with the other person. God has a better way. So when I've observed this through the years, some people get offended. You know what they do? That's it. I'm done. And they write them off. It's not good. You lose a connection with another person. Jesus has a better plan. Own your part. Try and figure out what's going on in their life. Say, God, I'll do my part the best as I can to patch it up. And you move forward and you try and maintain that connection with that person. I think that's what Jesus has in mind. So, wow. Number one, peace with God. Vertical. It's a download of his eternal presence into your heart, and you become the bird on the branch in the nest. You're content, you're calm, and the water is just flowing past you. Number two, peace with others. Guard that, protect that. Take care of those relationships and do everything you can in your power to live at peace with all people. Number three, the third kind of peace I want to talk about is peace with myself. Peace with yourself. It's you to you. Read with me in your notes, Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Circle the word anxious. Do you realize that you're in charge of the amount of peace in your life, especially when it pertains to you to you? You're it. Nobody else can control your thoughts, your emotions. You are the master. You're the captain. And Paul says, be careful, because don't let anxiety or circumstances rob from you the peace that you can have in your heart. Now, this is a big issue in our society today. Kids, there's anxiety levels that are very high, even adults. And Paul says, listen, the inner peace of peace with myself, if we guard and protect it, here's what will happen. It transcends all understanding. What's that mean? You might be in a situation today in life that you don't get, you didn't ask for it, it's just in your life. But when you have the peace of God in your heart and you do the best with staying at peace with other people, you then look at your own life and you say, you know what? I'm going to guard and protect that peace in such a way that I'm just going to, it makes me feel good even though I don't understand. That's the kind of peace Jesus came to bring to us when he was born into this world. Here's a quote. When you find peace within yourself, you become the kind of person who can live at peace with others. Now, let me apply that. Do you know why there's world conflicts today? Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Hamas? Because people aren't at peace within themselves. And it's acting out. It's displaying itself of trying to control others. And so the thing is, if you and I can become peaceful in ourselves, let me tell you, we can live better at peace with other people. People that aren't satisfied with your own life can make other people's lives miserable. But when we have a peace, let me tell you, we are easier to live with because we have peace in our own hearts. You know, last week we talked about weather, that every person who walks into a room carries a weather pattern with them. You know, it's their emotional makeup. And for some, it's like super sunshine. It's like, whoa, I'd love to see that person come. And then there's the partly cloudy person. Maybe, maybe not. What's going to happen today? Then you got the person that's got storms in their life. You know, the thunders, you never know. The next lightning bolt's on its way. I mean, that's the weather they carry with them. When you and I live at peace with God and other people and ourselves, let me tell you, your weather pattern will be amazing. Because what is on the inside will show up on the outside. It's also true, if I don't have peace in my life and I'm really struggling with something I know I need to get right, let me tell you, it's a weather pattern that also shows up. It's there. The inside becomes the outside weather pattern based on what's in my heart. So, three kinds of peace. Peace with God, vertical, between you and God. And that one is the most important one. Number two, horizontal. The 100 people I have in my life, horizontal relationships. Guard them and protect them. Do the best you can to live at peace with all people. Listen, be the leader. Take the first step. Do what you need to do. At least try. You can feel good about that. Number three is peace with myself. Guard your heart. Don't let anxiety and anxiousness rob or steal your own sense of peace. Here's a concluding verse. Let's read it together. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here's what it's saying. Guard and protect your peace. Now, let me tell you personally, when I've made a decision or gone someplace or I thought about doing something and I felt uncomfortable with it, sometimes I've done that and you know what happened? I lost my peace. I didn't protect it. I didn't listen to the boundaries of, you know, this may not be the best thing to do. So you and I have to keep our hearts with all diligence. Keep a close eye on it. You know why? Protect that peace. It's a wealth. You're a wealthy person if you've got peace in your life. Can I tell you that? Christmas, you can just celebrate the next week and Monday Christmas comes. You just have a good time. You know why? You got the real deal. You've got wealth. You've got the peace of God. You are the bird in the branch on the tree, side of the mountain, that's content and at rest, and the waterfall is just flowing down. But you're there. You're okay. The world's going to be whatever, but I'm okay. That's what Jesus wants to give us as a gift. The world can't give it, but the world can't take it away when I get it from God. Why? It's his eternal spirit depositing an inner rest deep into our soul that, you know what, it makes the difference in life. Going forward this week, it's going to get busy for all of us. I want you to ride the raft of peace in your life. Feed it, protect it, be careful about it, and enjoy it. That's what Jesus wants us to experience. Here's one last quote. St. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Three questions. Have you got the vertical peace in your life? I'm going to pray in just a moment, and you can pray and silently after me and take that step if you don't. Number two, horizontally. How's your relationships? Is any of them robbing your sense of peace? Number three, peace within yourself. Your thought patterns, how you view yourself. Hope, are you filled with hope or is it more anxiety? We're in charge. We got to take charge of our thinking. And so when you answer those three questions and you can say, you know what, I'm good this way, I'm pretty good this way, and I'm good this way, let me tell you, Merry Christmas. You have a wealth inside you that the world can't give, can't touch, and you're a rich person. Let's bow for prayer. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and it's a simple prayer, being made right or justified with God. And if you want to pray it silently after me or those listening online, this is the biggest one. So let's just pray through this. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me. And the angels announced the gift of peace to all mankind if we're open to receive it. And I confess I need you. Forgive me of all my sins, trying to do life apart from you. I ask for your forgiveness. I now invite Jesus Christ into my life, or I recommit my life to him. I ask him to be my Savior, and I ask him to be my Lord from this moment forward. I claim a deep measure of peace that only you can give, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray now for the horizontal relationships of every person here today and those listening online. If there's any fence mending I need to do, or any of us need to do, to own it, to apologize, or to try to make it right, I pray you'll give us the wisdom, the right spirit, and the courage to take that step. And Father, I also pray for any person here, when we think about inner peace, peace within ourselves of how we think and being anxious or trusting. I pray that you'll help us all to be a protector of the thoughts that go through our mind, how we view our lives and our future, so that we can experience peace toward ourselves as well. So Lord, today, third Sunday in Advent, thank you that Jesus came to bring us a gift, that once it's deposited into our life, the world cannot take it away. And we are the bird in the nest on the branch, content and at peace, even when the turbulent waters from the waterfall are flowing past us. And we celebrate this today. In Jesus' name, amen.